You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. Bye-bye, happiness. Hello, crappy horror moviness. These guys are going to tell me all about it.
That was a pretty good part of the movie. That song does make a cameo.
Does it really?
Yeah, it does. And he's just doing some really questionable dancing to it.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the kind of dancing I'd be doing if I was, like, in his situation.
I mean, guys, first off, Carlos, Patience, Frank, they're here. They saw the movie. I did not because I was seeing another movie because they scheduled them at the same time. Goddamn distributors. What is the Bye Bye Man about? Because watching the trailer, I just get, so are they fighting God? Because it just seems like he can do anything whenever the fuck he feels like.
It's kind of a lackluster God, if that
were the case. Not even a semi-deity.
Okay.
It's essentially kind of a really poorly done Candyman-ish type concept. Yeah. So basically, it's these three college kids who find this big, beautiful mansion off campus to live in, and they inadvertently unlock the bye-bye man, who is sort of just like, you give him power by saying his name out loud.
Okay.
It's kind of like It Follows meets Candyman.
Also Slenderman.
Yeah. Ring. It's like one of those concepts, like the more you think about him, the stronger he is.
That's what I'm saying.
If you say his name to somebody, you set off a chain.
Yeah. I mean, the Ring, all you have to do is not watch the fucking videotape.
Yeah. Right?
Which would be easier as the time goes on.
And if you say his name, not unlike It Follows, then to another person, and that person's infected now. So once anybody hears his name, it has knowledge of his name. Yes.
And they're prone to delusions. They're seeing things that aren't really happening.
Yeah, it preys on their fears.
What is this thing? Is it killing these kids?
No, it's essentially driving them to kill others.
So it's making them into killers.
Yeah, they become paranoid. I think it's supposed to prey on your fears. So, like, one kid becomes incredibly paranoid. The other girl, she gets sick.
Mm-hmm.
They spend a lot of time not explaining that part of the movie, which I think they could have spent.
I'm sure the R-rated version, before it was whittled down to PG-13, explained a lot more than this actually did, because it felt so compressed and rushed.
And then they were like, did seriously weird things, like spent 4 minutes on the dude dancing in the car to the song, to the Dead Kennedy song, and you're just like, was there a point to this?
Dead Kennedy song, out of curiosity?
It was the one that he talks about bye-bye or whatever.
Yeah, there is
like a punk version of that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, is there? Okay,
it's supposed to, the movie is, this is what Carlos and I found hilarious. We were just talking about this. The movie is supposed to take place in the 90s. Like, that's literally the first line of the synopsis.
So that's just so that they can have, no one has cell phones.
But there's clearly a smartphone. They have a smartphone. And, I mean,
I'm somewhat of a car guy, too, and he drives a Mustang, which is like clearly a 2000 model.
Yeah. A really nice new Mustang.
Maybe they thought by having him not search on Google, but some random-ass janky, like, search engine, they thought they were coming.
I know, right? It was some weird nondescript search.
It wasn't like Ask Jeeves or anything?
No. Not even a web crawler.
Bye-bye man.
You think NetSpeed. 90s, you're like, oh, cool, they're going to do, like, a cool, like, maybe a, you know, cool cinematography thing, like It Follows it, or maybe they'll do like an homage.
Right, so I'm going to guess
but they don't do any of that.
I'd read that it's supposed to be like some famous serial killers. They were saying, oh, they find out that's because of the Bye-Bye Man. That would have been so good if they did. So is
That would have been a much better movie.
Described the synopsis on Wikipedia. That's what it said.
Basically, it's just like two dudes that like wiped out their whole entire families because they told him about the bye-bye.
Almost all. The main guy, the reporter guy, wiped out everyone he told, and who eventually told everybody else, except for his wife. His wife has never known, like, the name of the bye-bye man. So she's been spared. And she's like Faye Dunaway, who is still existing on Earth.
Who is like, what the fuck happened to my career?
I felt bad for her being in that movie. Her and Carrie Ann Moss.
This is the best thing she's been able to get in the longest time. It's
the legendary Faye Dunaway, and the last thing she did was a
Hallmark Channel movie where she played an angel, like a It's a Wonderful Life type thing, where she played Clarence, basically to Daphne Zuniga. Okay. This is a step up from
maybe. Okay, so you're right. It is a step up for Faye Dunaway.
That's kind of horrific to know.
I should have known better, knowing that it was written by a survivor. Literally a person who played Survivor 3 times, Jonathan Penner, I'm a fan of Survivor. Shh, don't tell anybody. So I was like, oh my God, Penner's wrote this. And then his wife directed it. So, I mean, her big break was Snoop Dogg, was Hood of Horrors. Is that what it was called?
Well, she did do a movie that was actually kind of a fun little indie film in the 90s called The Last Supper had a decent amount of, at the time, reasonably big stars in it. Annabeth Gish, Cameron Diaz, Courtney B. Vance, Bill Paxton, Ron Perlman. Fun little...
and her husband.
Yeah, murder thriller. murder thriller comedy. But that was the last I remember even hearing from her. She's done a lot of trash.
Yeah.
And this is just another one of those horror films that it sounds like you're just baffled. Why is this the one that got picked for wide release instead of any other given direct
DVD? Well, it's the time for them, isn't it? You know, the January and February releases are sort of known for... It's a dumping ground. But you can find some buried treasure. For some people, this will be their jam. They like it.
No.
Not me, but...
Definitely not.
Doug Jones was cool. I like.
Yeah, Doug Jones was fantastic. He plays the creature.
And he just emanates horror just standing there. Yeah,
anything with him.
That dude is freaky looking.
Yeah. That's true.
I have to say that his makeup job was well done. Mm-hmm. They did have this like weird CGI dog that was just really, really bad. But
Doug Jones' makeup.
That's a tribute to Ghostbusters and Zool.
Yeah, he did kind of look like, Cerberus or whatever the name of the dog was in Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters is just like this big, like, demon dog.
I don't know if they ever named the dogs in Ghostbusters. I can't remember because Zool's their boss.
Oh, Zool's the boss, yeah.
And then it's just like the gatekeeper or some shit.
The gatekeeper, because the gatekeeper is Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah.
And
Rick Moranis is the keymaster.
Or maybe they both turned into them. I can't remember. I should know. But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Exactly.
This is a totally different bad CG dog.
And I do have to say that, you know, regardless of all my skepticism, I thought the movie actually semi-ended well.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it in the terms of it being scary?
I
didn't
forget how it ended. Now. Oh, well, yeah.
You just saw this.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how unforgettable this is, yeah. No, not the ending, but like how it sort of all resolves itself. I'm not a big fan of happy endings, so I was pleased that it didn't try and like shove that down my throat, too.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a fan of endings that are appropriate for the movie. I think this one was appropriate for this movie. Yeah,
exactly.
It's funny, we go on the other way on that, because I don't necessarily want a happy ending, but if it's a Final Girl situation, don't ever kill the Final Girl. There's definitely not that situation.
It's just a series of stupid people making stupid decisions. It's just the typical...
It's another one of those... Why are they still, despite the amount of complaining we all do about really unlikable people, like, why is it always that way?
I mean, it's because it's bad plot. They want us to root for death.
They want us to root for carnage.
I feel like it's a bad plot, you know? It's like, if you have to have that in your movie, those tropes or the exposition characters, then you're obviously not doing a good job.
A lot of the moves from the characters were just based, was almost like, well, we're in this kind of genre, so I guess we gotta do this now.
Exactly. The librarian was like, oh my god.
The Bye-Bye Man?
I know, I couldn't figure out if she was like a genuine, like exposition type character, like explaining the plot, or if she was there for comedic relief. I was just confused.
Right, so she was a character who came in who was like...
The librarian, let's explain the plot to everybody, you know what I mean? But then she ended up having a pretty humorous part in the movie.
Those characters rarely work very well in horror movies. I think the one exception I can think of is Tony Todd in the Final Destination movies.
Oh, yeah.
Because
he plays it so over the top.
Because Tony Todd is the best.
I think she's meant to be more the comic relief. I think the Dunaway character is meant to be like the wise old person that this is what's going on.
This is for real what's going on. Yeah. But yeah, I guess she was there for comic relief. I don't know.
But then when they had her turn like all sort of in her second scene, I don't give any spoilers, in her second scene, it just wasn't funny. It was sort of like, okay, well, now you're this.
Confused.
Yeah.
All right, so let's look at the rankings of the things that we look in for horror movies. The gore level. What was it at?
It was tame. Mm.
Tame?
Yeah.
I mean, it's PG-13, so.
There wasn't a huge amount. I mean, they at least think, thank you, whatever horror gods are up there.
remaining.
that there wasn't a whole lot of jump scares, so that was at least original there. It was more of a creepy suspense vibe.
The atmosphere was there. Mm. They did have a good atmosphere, I thought.
Gore level?
Another creative.
The kills that were there, were the kills creative at all?
Not really.
Any boobs?
No.
Because you gotta ask. It's a horror movie.
Not even one. I do believe that one of the reasons why they lost their R rating was for teen drinking. Yeah.
Because nobody did that. No teens know about that.
No sex.
And these are college kids who are signed a lease on a two-story house.
Yeah.
I mean, you can have them drink.
If they're college kids and they're signing a lease, then they're close enough.
Yeah.
Right?
They've had a few.
They're clearly in their 20s. Yeah,
drinking is the last thing you need to worry about with those kids.
It was, no boobs. Mm-hmm. There was sex noises.
Oh, okay. Well,
they were. Yeah, yeah.
But did they die while they were having sex?
Nope.
See, what the hell? whereas I certainly, you have to credit The Ring at making, PG-13 horror can make money.
Can be good.
But you still have to curse it and go, God damn it, now we get almost nothing but PG-13 horror.
But I think that this was, that one wasn't at the expense of the story, and I feel like this one was.
Yeah.
Because I think they had the R rating and the freedom, we could explore the mythology of the Bye-Bye Man a little bit more, and, what made him such a malevolent presence to begin with.
Yeah, there was so much that was left unexplained that they spent in other areas that you're just like, okay, do I really need a 2-minute shot of his reflection in the tea kettle?
Yeah, what? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and then spooky outdoor shots, it's just like, it was really, They misused their time.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. But you said there are at least enough good things in here, it sounds like, to make it not a total waste of time.
It's an intriguing premise.
I'd say if you're really bored and it's out on Netflix already, give it a shot.
It's not the latest Underworld.
Thank you. I was going to say,
No, I didn't see it, but I'm just going on a hunch.
Two horror films this year, and this is my second least favorite.
Oh, right.
Well, I'm glad to know it wasn't as boring as Underworld was, because Jeeves Christmas. All right, so final thoughts, Frank?
I really, at some point, would love the powers that be to realize that fans will stay away if there's a PG-13 horror movie. They want that R rating because they know that nothing is off limits. There are no bounds. PG-13 oftentimes plays it safe, and this is a real shining example of that. Everything suffers here, from the characters to the performances, most of all the plot. And like I said before, January and February are the dumping grounds for horror films like these. Sometimes you get a nice surprise, like, dare I say, The Boy last year.
Yeah,
I actually liked it.
I heard great things about it.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun.
Watch the better version of it called Southbound before they
released it. Oh, I did not like Southbound.
Oh, I loved Southbound.
But the other times,
you would.
It's so good.
Other times you get dogs like this, and I think that this is just wait for people to kill time until the Slender Man documentary comes out on HBO, or until,
which is really great.
It's been escaping me for like two film festivals already, and it's been escaping me.
It's so good.
But it's a way to kill time between that coming out and Split coming out next week, which I just know is going to be great.
My fingers crossed for Split. I need that to be good.
It was half and half at Fantastic Fest. People either despised it or they were like, it was one of the best M. Night films in years.
Well, that means it's only going up. But I think I'll give this It half worked, so I'll give it like 5 out of 10. Faye Dunaway's is the best you can do right now.
Yeah, Carlos.
I really can't add very much more to it. It kind of started out promising. I got excited when it showed that there was a scene with the little girl and she's looking at the little tiny between the walls door, little mini door, and it shows a part of a demon for that moment, and I got excited for a second, and then it started. It's just kind of just
like,
went down.
Ooh, I like demons.
Yeah, yeah.
it was the demon dog.
Yeah, yeah. Poked his head out, and you got excited for a second, but then it just went downhill from there. The ending was slightly refreshing, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I know that little revelation or that twist, right? Yeah. So to speak. Yeah.
Didn't totally see that coming, you know. Yeah. So yeah, I kind of in the same way. I don't know. I'd say 3 out of 5 loaded shotguns.
And patience.
I just, I'm disheartened, I guess. I feel like the plot suffered big time, that they definitely spent their time on other things, probably because of the force feeding it into that PG-13 rating. I agree with that completely. And I mean, the actors did the best with what they were given. There was, I don't know, it was bad. I give it 1 Justin Timberlake singing Bye 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 out of 5 NSYNC members.
I feel so bad too, because I contacted Patience and Carlos really late because they sent a message begging more people to come see it.
Tonight. I got that email. Yeah.
And I was like, all right, well, I guess I figured it was too late, but I'll go ahead and ask them then. And you were like, isn't it not supposed to be very good? I'm like, I don't know. I'm not telling you to see it or not to see it.
An hour through traffic in Austin during rush hour.
Was more horrifying today than any horror movie.
That was way worse than the movie, I guess.